And welcome to the middle of the month show of the Great British Mickey Waffle. It is the 15th of March 2022, and we're looking forward to welcoming in our special guests for this show. So, from Disneyland Paris, DVC, and creating some incredible cinematic videos, we can't wait to hear what our guests have been up to. So, fear not, as you can see on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, I'm not alone today, and I'm joined by my fellow wafflers, Becca.
Hello.
Peter.
Hello.
Jill.
Hi.
And John.
Hi, guys.
Can you believe we're halfway through March already?
Already. Well, at time of recording,
I'm 55
at time of recording. So, happy birthday.
I don't think it was long ago that we were talking. It was the new year, and we were talking about our New Year's resolutions.
It was, yes.
John, can you remember yours?
Yeah, I was going to watch all the Marvel films by the end of the year.
How's that going?
How's that working out?
Yeah. It's marvelously.
So you're still on one.
See what you did there.
Yeah.
I see. I'm here all week. You're all right. I've actually watched more Marvel films than I had prior to New Year.
Yep. Works, yeah, I suppose.
I just haven't kind of binged the Disney Plus bit, but I did go to the cinema, which was a pleasant experience. So I'm now stepping in the right direction, but yeah, I think we maybe need to just accelerate that a little bit more. But it'll happen.
There's several months left, and we've got a few more times to keep tally of how many films you've done by the end of the year.
Oh, and so. I keep getting it thrown back at me every single month, so. Stay tuned, guys, because I'll surprise everyone, and 1 month I'll turn around and say, well, I've actually got 10 this month.
Will that be April when there's an April Fool?
Ain't now birds of thought, isn't there? That's it.
You'll have to just tune in next month to see whether that's what we're going to do. But as our friends of the show know,
we could maybe just do John watches Marvel as a first of April show all on its own.
It won't happen.
Just do an all-day feed. An all-day feed for April Fool's of me just sat watching the telly. I think that would be perfect.
Well, so have the camera on you and just a blank screen, and they don't need to know whether it's a Marvel film you're watching.
No, they have to watch the screen as well.
You with a bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
3 hours later, you've got through Endgame, or so they think.
Yeah.
Your family passing you beers.
Yeah. Yeah, it might need something like that. Keep it going, Peter. That's it.
So, as our friends of the show know, we do dedicate our middle of the month show to speaking to friends in the Disney community. And this month, we're joined by an amazing family that we all got to know a little bit better during the blip that was 2020 and 2021. So, I'd like to welcome Gaz and Ange, the Kershaw's Adventures.
Hey!
Hello!
Hello.
Hi. Hey guys!
How are we doing?
Yeah,
really good.
Good to have you on the show and things like that.
It's good to have you back as well.
Yeah.
So you got on one of our very first shows where we did the carousel of questions.
It's good to have you on for a proper chat.
I love how you use it as the blip of 20 and
2020. Yeah.
I've got to say, that's a hell of a long blip, isn't it?
Not as long as what we saw in Infinity War.
Yeah. No, 5 years.
Yep.
See, John, you'd have known that if you'd watched Infinity War. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's
no.
That's added knowledge.
Felt like 5 years.
Yeah.
So, as we said, that you did answer our first set of carousel questions, and Claire's been busy and has written another 10 questions, which are more challenging. No, just 10 questions that are very challenging because we haven't all answered them yet.
No.
And every time we look at the questions, we think, I'm not sure what I would choose for that. So, do you think you're ready?
No.
You'll be fine. They're not that terrible. There's one or two tricky ones.
Okay.
Same as always, you're allowed to have different answers. It's not like Mr. and Mrs. You don't have to sort of completely compare and like that. And if you do want to go off screen and argue about it, you're all right. People listening at the podcast won't notice. Anyone watching on YouTube will.
Right. Okay. So
okay. I'll take the first question. So, when did you first step into a Disney park?
I was 3, and it was Disneyland Resort.
And I was, I'm going to say 10, and mine was Disneyland Paris.
Nice.
Long time. Don't ask me if I remember it because I don't.
Oh, I obviously don't remember.
There is one thing that was really strange though. I bought like remember the cap guns you used to be able to get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big Thunder Mountain themed gun.
Do you still have it?
Well, no, I don't have it anymore, but I remember being able to bring it home, which is really bizarre.
That sounds
yeah.
Now it is.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
I was like, okay, that's a bit strange. But yeah, it was like a big rifle, but had the little red caps in the circle that you used to get.
Yeah.
I remember that was a random thing to remember, but yeah, that was
You definitely wouldn't be able to get that back through.
No. Don't sell them type of things in the parks anymore.
No. It's all lightsabers and
customs these days as well, don't they?
Yeah. Although they do sell plastic swords.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is true. Yeah, this is true. Yep.
So you never know.
Okay, so which Pixar character do you most relate to?
Oh,
that's see. This is what
if
this,
I'm
this
in
is what
Disney, Joy.
Oh,
I like what you did there.
That's a good.
And if you're not, sadness.
Yeah, I like what you've done there. One of the two. Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to say Wall-E.
Oh. No, Wall-E cleans up things.
The cockroach from Wall-E. There we go. That's what we're going with. I'm not even going to say Wall-E. I'm just going with that one.
What a great answer. So the questions continue. And this is a definite Claire favourite question. So what's your favourite bathroom on Disney property? I think we can put it across. We can put it across Paris or Orlando. So, favorite bathroom.
Has to be the Tangled ones for me. Like the fact that the paintings are all inside that she's done on the walls, and they're just a cool bathroom.
Mm.
And on the outside of them as well. That's pretty awesome.
They don't have the paintings on the walls in the gents. In the gents, you've got a row of frying pans.
The ones you post.
Oh really?
And wanted posters. Yeah.
I suppose she wouldn't have been in the gents, would she?
Now you know the reason why. It's an interesting question. I'm trying to think of like practicality as well, because like having Ollie, like you want one that's like you can get in there really quickly. Like I tell you what, there is actually a good one in DLP, which we're going to say, which is as you get into the hub, as you walk towards Frontierland. On the right-hand side is like a little one that's hidden away.
And
that's got a lot of space to be able to leave your pram and also be able to go and do everything that you need to do. So from a practicality point of view, I'm going to say that. And on a similar point, I'm going to chuck in a little like bonus one, which is the one behind Figment in Walt Disney World. No one
really ever knows where that one is.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
The worst toilets in DLP, everybody says they're in the village, but for me the worst ones are the ones by Phantom Manor, because that's the smoking area as well.
Yes.
And you have to half die to get through.
Very true. They're doing them up at the minute. Like, well, last time we were there in February. They were doing them up at the time, so
they're doing the building to the left of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it forces you more into the smoking.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh wow. No tip, thank you. Useful tip.
Yeah.
Okay, it's my question next. What is your favorite Disney mountain?
Do you want to go first this time?
I'm going to go with Splash Mountain.
Okay, I'm really surprised he said that, because Big Thunder Mountain in Disneyland Paris is his favourite ride.
I've completely changed my mind. Big Thunder Mountain in DLP. Yeah, DLP is my favourite. Yeah, that was cool with that. Yeah.
Same for me.
You know me better than I know myself.
Oh.
It's until you get reminded of that the one in Disneyland Paris is better.
Yeah, you just forget about it. Don't you?
You just focus on Walt Disney World and think, okay, is it Everest? Is it Big Thunder?
Yeah. My least favourite is Everest.
Yeah.
Oh, well, don't listen to our last show then. Our last show was about Everest.
Yeah. The whole show on Everest. That was
That's all it is. The ride looked cool, and I wish the Yeti was back, but it's the spin that gets me. Yeah. It just knocks me out.
You've done it once. And
I might try it again.
That's once more than me.
Jill is queen of team wins.
Yeah, I keep wanting to give it another try.
Every time he is sick.
Yeah, I'm just not good.
Okay.
So, my question. Who is your favourite villain and why?
Villain.
Okay. Let me think.
Maybe Lotso, because he's like really cute and cuddly.
Smells of strawberries.
Yeah.
Do you know when you feel like you've got a really good answer and you just can't find it? Yeah. So I'm just going to go with Scar.
Okay.
Good one.
Yeah. I like Scar, and he can belt a good tune every now and again as well, which I like.
But not in the live action film.
No.
True.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though, in DLP, the on stage there, again, he can belt out a good tune.
Yeah. He can. Yeah.
Rhythm of the Pride Lands.
Yeah.
Such a good show.
Brilliant show.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Which Epcot World Showcase country is your must do?
Must do? Oh, it's between two now. It's got to be one with a ride in it. So I'm going to now go with France. I wouldn't have done prior to Ratatouille, but I'm now going to say France.
I think I'm going to say Mexico. Because it's got three caballeros.
Yep.
It's got all the Mexican food.
Yep.
Like three restaurants.
Yep.
And the pavilion's really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that. And then, it's similar, I suppose, with Paris, what I was saying, that you've got the creperie that's there now.
Yeah.
Croque Glace you can go and get. You've got really good restaurants there. All basically, we're just talking food now.
Yeah. We'll get
normal. Talk to you just about the food.
We love our food here.
Yeah. And when you get stuck, you can always go and watch Impressions de France as well, can't you? So that's it. You
know.
never seen that.
No. Really? Okay. Welcome to the club.
That's 15 minutes of your life saved.
But we did see Was It Beauty and the Beast sing along.
We did.
Yeah. I remember that.
There's a lot in that. Are you considering what you get in other pavilions?
Hmm.
There's a lot going on in the France pavilion.
Yeah. You've got the ice cream place, you've got the bakery.
Yeah.
Belle and Aurora are sometimes out as well.
Yeah.
And you can stop off for a quick crepe.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that boulangerie at the very back of the film is absolutely to die for. And it's just like, it is just such a little hidden gem.
It is.
You know, because it tends not to get overly busy.
Mm.
And you just sort of, even sort of early doors, you can sort of get in. It's quite nice for breakfast. It's even all right for lunch and stuff. Nice baguettes.
And it's had the seal of approval from Peter, who's a pastry chef. So.
There you go. That's it. Maybe got a poster of that when you walk in. That was approved by Peter.
Talking of Epcot, one good thing is the opening hours have gone back early.
Good.
Okay, so I'm wondering whether that means the patisserie will be open.
I hope so.
See, you see, that's a good thing, Ben. But like for us...
We're going to miss the extra magic half hour.
Yeah, so this is the thing.
The extra half an hour.
We can't do extra magic hours in the morning. We are terrible at getting up in the morning. So at least with Epcot, we feel like we're getting our money's worth by getting that extra half an hour.
Well, so long as you do it early in the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the jet lag's gone.
Well, you'll get up at 4 o'clock anyway, you know.
Yeah, true.
So what is your favourite Magic Kingdom land?
Fantasyland for me.
Can you class Main Street as a land?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Then Main Street.
There's a rewrite of the rules here. This is. I'm noting this down for when it's my turn to answer all these.
It's on the map as a separate place.
It doesn't have land in the title.
Yeah.
But nor does Liberty Square.
Neither does Liberty Square.
No.
Yeah. I'm just running through the song of Kingdom Full of Fantasy with Seven Lands and More. So one of those must be
Main Street.
Main Street.
Main Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Head and Shoulders above any others.
Can I
answer? Yeah, if you want to.
You can change your answer until we've stopped recording.
There's something magical about that part of the Magic Kingdom.
Especially when it snows on Main Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it really odd because we did Paris first before we did WDW, and it just felt yes and no right, but not right at the same time.
Yeah. It's very similar, but not similar at the same time. And you kind of wish that, like, the Walt Disney World had the arcades.
You do, absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Like, he's definitely missing that in Walt Disney World.
But the thing I most love though is the trolley dancers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The singers and dancers
that happens there, like Dapper Dans are there as well, and when the parade, like, you can watch the parade, for example, in Frontierland, or you can watch the parade in on Main Street, and it just feels more magical, even though it's the same parade. It feels more magical on Main Street than it will do in Frontierland.
The lighting is a lot better on Main Street.
Yeah.
So you get to see much more of the parade.
Yeah.
I wonder whether, because it feels busier as well, because there's a lot more people and it's just more of a crowd. I don't know whether the...
More atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think it is atmosphere. I think it takes it from just... I think you feel, in Frontierland, you feel kind of out of the main part of the parade. It's a really weird atmosphere because you're not even when you're watching the parade, and it's in the days of old when they did the reverse route and stuff like that, it didn't matter if the parade started at the bottom end of Main Street or whether you're waiting for it to come from the back of the park right the way down. It's still different, and it's still far more atmospheric on Main Street. And
also, when we saw it in Frontierland, we stood on the wrong side and we were roasted. If you watch it from Frontierland, you've got to stand in front of Pecos Bills.
Yeah, we stood on the water side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the other side is just roasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when we were there.
Yes.
Even when we were there.
Yes.
And we are Disney bad weather gods.
That's true. When you were supposed to have been out there when they had that really cold weather a few weeks ago.
So obviously nobody told the weather that we cancelled.
So, warning to anyone listening or watching, when's your next trip?
November.
Early November.
There you go.
No.
Bring your big coat.
Pack your big coat and your wellies. Yeah. It's going to snow. Rather than three times nightly, it's just going to snow. For a week, constant.
No, the first time we went in 2010, it was -2 in December.
Yeah.
And the two big rides in
SeaWorld
didn't go. They were cancelled completely.
Yeah. It was too cold.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, next question.
No, that's good. So here we go, Gaz and Ange. This is one of my favourite questions. So what is your favourite nighttime parade or fireworks spectacular at Walt Disney World?
Past or past, just present or past?
And present? Past and present.
Main Street Electrical Parade.
Happily ever after.
Wait a minute.
Main Street Electrical Parade was amazing, and I'm really glad that it's coming back to Disneyland. But bring it back to Disney World already.
It's coming. It's coming. Right. Okay. So, the thing is, with the fireworks, we briefly touched on it before, but with the fireworks for us, the change beforehand for wishes to happily ever after happen at the perfect time, because with wishes, that's when it was just me and Ange.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then happily ever after came along, and the first time we saw happily ever after was when we were with Ollie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they both have really special meanings, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just picked a parade. So no, happily ever after. I want to change my answer. Yeah. Happily ever after.
How does he? How do you manage with him staying up late enough to watch the fireworks? Do you have to keep force feeding him espresso on the sly?
He's a little right. night owl, to be honest. Yeah. He's he doesn't like getting up in the morning. He's like quite a late riser, but like.
Yeah, he seems to do all right, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a little night owl.
Like, I mean, this time round we've noticed it more compared to previous times, but like we just got to make sure we pace it right. As long as we can pace, sometimes stopping in the middle of the day and then coming back to the park later on if we notice he's going to be too tired. But he's as long as he's fed and has enough sleep, then you know he's going to be a happy boy. And if he starts to not become a happy boy, you know it's one of the two things.
Yeah, sounds like me.
That sounds fairly familiar to me. Yeah. Because of course, in Disneyland Paris in the summer, it can be 11 o'clock before you get to see the fireworks because it's not late, it's not dark.
Dark enough. Yeah. We haven't encountered that yet, luckily. Yet.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what is your favourite restaurant outside of the parks?
Oh, in Disney World?
Either.
Can be off-site as well.
Yeah, I've got two answers now because I've got one for Disneyland Paris and I've got one for
Well, go on then, because I can't think of any right now.
Ooh. Right, okay, so outside of the parks in Walt Disney World for me is Ohana. It hasn't, it hasn't got the best food, but it has the best atmosphere of anywhere that I can think of. Like, instantly go into that place and just feel relaxed and the entertainment that they have with the coconuts and then the banjo and stuff like that. It's amazing. And then for Disneyland Paris, it's got to be Downtown Restaurant.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
We did that. We've done that twice now. So we did it back when it was family style.
Yeah.
Is it family style? Kind of, well, where they basically brought it to you.
Yeah.
It was really, like, really, really good.
Right.
And then in February, we just come back now, we did the buffet, which was even better than it was brought to the table.
Yeah.
Because you just pick the heroes of every dish. So you're like, no, I don't want the green beans. No, give me the good stuff.
Give me the burger.
Yeah. There was one time, I'm pretty sure I had pizza, burger, I had duck, I had spring rolls. all in one plate.
No salad and veg chucked in there.
You know what?
It's not overcomplicated.
No shame.
I love the little pot of chocolate mousse with little baby Groot sitting in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So cool.
How could you eat Groot?
I know.
Yeah.
Very cute.
On our last trip, we stayed at Art of Marvel. So it's fantastic.
It's a fantastic hotel.
So my question next. Oh, sorry, we didn't get to Ange. Sorry,
Ange. What's yours?
So for Disneyland Paris, I would say Downtown as well. By far, my favorite restaurant at Disneyland Paris. In Disney World, I'm probably gonna say Yachtsman Steakhouse.
Ooh. Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had one of like some of the best meals we've ever had there. It used to be Le Cellier.
That's in the park.
That's in the park.
That's in the park. Yeah.
I'm sensing a steak theme.
Yes. Yeah. Disney World can do steak well.
Yes. Cool.
So, have you done Ratatouille Steak? The Remy Ratatouille's restaurant. Yeah. Did you like the steak there?
We did.
So, I think from what we've heard from people, they're like the lower end because you have the two menus, don't you?
You do. Yeah.
So like the lower menu, the steak isn't very good.
Yeah,
but the higher menu that we had was fantastic.
Yeah, we had
the lower end one, and it was not nice.
We also found that at
Silver Spur
was the same.
Yeah,
if you have the cheapest steak, it's not as nice.
Yeah.
I
don't know which one we had at Silver Spur. All I know is it was nice. So
I think that was our first ever steak in Disney. Yeah. Okay. So it was like whatever.
Boathouse was still better though.
Yeah. So well, I've got the last question. And it's difficult. Food and wine or flower and garden?
Flower and garden. I'm not even going to hesitate. I'm going flower and garden.
Okay.
Food and wine.
Fuck me.
I love flower and garden, but there's just more food booths.
Not that many more, though, is there?
There is.
Really?
There is.
I don't know. I was reading a list earlier of the ones that are flower and garden. I'm thinking... That's a lot.
There's more this year than there used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there is quite a few more, isn't there, at Food and Wine?
You see, I just feel that Flower and Garden is food and wine with flowers. So I just think it's just a prettier, like, you go around, there's topiaries that you can look at. There's the butterflies. Whole, yeah, there's the whole, yeah, butterflies. That's the reason why you don't want to do flower and garden. like the lake that you've got and the kind of mural that they have there, and the food is still brilliant.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
It is, but cool. Food and Wine has the lobster roll.
Oh, I'm sensing expensive tastes here, Ange. Well, steak, lobster.
The last 2 minutes, steak fair, and lobster. Why do we have the Arnex?
They all used to be on the dining plan and didn't cost us anything.
Yeah, that's
yes, yes, yes. Oh, the good old.
The dining place. Plan was great for sort of festivals.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, it was.
And just a bit of a side note then, whilst we're talking about dining plan. Do we all feel like it's coming back?
Yes.
At some point.
Absolutely, yes.
I think the paid-for version, yes. The paid-for version, it won't absolutely. Be free.
It'll be like the DVC version where you've always had to pay for it.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's going to be like a $500 add-on.
Yeah.
I think for us, I don't think that'll happen in the States. But I think for UK guests, I can see them adding it because there's definitely value there.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I
like
just
the Dungeon Plus a bit cheaper.
Exactly.
The
I'm not sure how well the $950 dining credit went down with bookings.
Well,
but
I don't think it's, if you've got a family of four and you're going for 2 weeks, that's not enough money.
No. Yeah.
And you have to stay in the nicest hotels to get the highest.
Yeah.
It
pays for a coffee every morning and that's it.
Yes.
And I've also heard quite a few people having problems with it because lots of the CMs don't know about it.
Really?
So they go into restaurants and people are saying, nope, that's not valid here. So, yeah.
That's not good.
Difficult.
I think as well, and I think this harks back to the old dining plan. The old dining plan actually offered us absolutely superb value.
Yeah.
But also allowed us to go and try those places that possibly if you're paying out of pocket, you, because of the costs involved and because of the fact you're on your holidays and you've got a choice, you probably wouldn't go to.
Yeah.
And I think possibly with the parks opening up and with more cast members coming back, with more restaurants opening back up to full capacity, let's hope that we get that chance to go and experience something like that. I'm tight. I know I've said it before, and I wouldn't enjoy paying $500 extra, but I can see how you can't run a business and be giving away free food.
No.
You know, that in some respects harks back to, you know, a long time ago, you know, it took nearly 20 years ago when the parks were empty and they were desperate for people to actually be coming from across the other side of the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. It needs a little bit of, you know, because they're busy all the time, all year round now.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't need to give away free food, but they need something to get bums on seats in some of the restaurants. I think it's possibly the biggest reason that they're probably looking at this, guys.
Yeah. Also, I think it's interesting you mentioned that because I think there's pent-up demand right now, and I think you're going to see that for another couple of years. So if they're ever going to bring a free dining plan back, it isn't going to be in the next couple of years because, like you say, you don't give something away for free when you don't need to.
Yeah.
I mean, they want the UK guests there because the UK guests spend the most amount of money and UK guests are used to all-inclusive holidays. That's why they go to Europe. And stuff like that. So
I think the way around it would be to just do a prepaid option that's included in your package. And then people go, well, that's the price of the holiday. That's, I don't have to worry about food. Because that's what I think a lot of the issues around at the minute is like how much food actually costs.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for lots of people, it's not value for money. For us, we make it work. Because we like to go in signature restaurants. We like to sit down for an hour or so with a nice meal and a glass of wine. And also because we don't have children, we've got that sort of downtime to spend in the evenings. And for us, we make it work.
We changed our trip completely last time round because we didn't have the dining plan.
Yeah.
We realised how much we ate on the dining plan compared to how much we ate without the dining plan. Like we like the perfect example. If anyone's watched our vlogs, you'll see we're either sharing meals, or we're having kids' meals.
Mm.
Like, perfect example is the Mickey waffles at breakfast. Like you can have two Mickey waffles with bacon and your syrup, and that's it for your adult meal. Or your kids' meal, you can get two Mickey waffles with bacon or sausage and bacon, or you can go with a cookie, or you can have a drink as well. And there's just a lot more value in that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But like, if you had the dining plan, you'd go with the free Mickey waffles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah.
Our
next trip is based on budget. So we've been looking at food quite heavily, and it's like, okay, well, are we going to eat off site? Or actually, is it worth it? Because we don't have a car, we'll be Uber in, put that into the cost. And then it's like, okay, well, no, let's stay close. So we're staying at Saratoga, and we're going to be eating a lot of Disney Springs because there's so much choice there.
Oh, it's so tempting. Service. Yeah. It's so tempting just to walk to Disney Springs if you stay at Saratoga.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
You stayed at Saratoga on your last trip in December, didn't you?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. We both stayed at Saratoga on our last trips. Okay.
Yes. We didn't go to Disney Springs as much last trip, though.
No, we didn't.
No.
Really?
You couldn't move when you were there.
Okay. So busy. It became to the point where it wasn't enjoyable to walk around Disney Springs.
Right.
And that's, you know, that takes a lot.
Yeah. Or,
because, like you said, at nighttime, Disney Springs is great to have a chill. You just have a walk around. You take in the atmosphere. Mm. And like you said, the choice in terms of food, it's phenomenal. But again, probably partly down to the dining plan, we didn't really choose any for Disney Springs, did we?
We just did like Blaze and Earl a couple of times.
Yeah. And then we spent the least amount of time in Disney Springs this time than we ever
had. Okay.
And that intrigues me because actually I think we've had this discussion on a previous waffle and actually how much that change within the dining plan is perhaps pushing families off site an awful lot more, you know, because there's a hell of a lot more value to be had once you get off Disney property. And you also get the chance of, you know, sometimes the quality of food is actually much better yet at half or a third of the price. And it's that reversal of the way that you've been programmed to eat whilst at Disney, because you've always sort of thought, oh, well, I can always pick up a meal. I'm not going to pay much for it because I'm on a dining plan. I'll stay on site. I'll do this. And like now it's a completely different one. And I think particularly, you know, with having kids, you do seek out what is best for them. And you're also looking for the chances, you know, so any saving, even Disney Springs is cheaper than eating in the parks.
Yeah.
And then you stretch that a little bit further away. And then, like Ben said, you get an Uber and you're suddenly finding yourself, you've got copious restaurants that actually are really good value for money and really good. The choice of food is exceptional. So
I think you're right, John. I mean, that's exactly what we're doing for our next trip.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like we've gone, we've experienced it, and we tried to stay in the Disney bubble as much as we possibly could do. And we've had a conversation, haven't we, to say, well, actually, we've been going now since what, 2010?
Yeah, 2009.
And we can probably count how many meals we've had off site
on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee that by the end of our next trip, we'll probably have doubled, maybe tripled that.
Yeah.
Three reservations, two breakfasts, and one evening meal. That's not to say we'll not try and get a walk up somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
But
for
the right system now, for walk ups a lot better now than what it used
to
be.
Yeah.
And it just
So where will you be staying next time?
We have three different places for the next trip.
Ooh.
Go on, you can say.
So we're doing Animal Kingdom for like the main length of the stay.
Yeah.
And then we're doing Pop Century because we added a few days on, so we had to add that. And we are staying at Riviera.
Ooh.
Which will be
lovely.
I don't think we'd ever get to stay there.
No.
Because we're resale DVC members.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But when the points that sort of expired while the UK couldn't get in got extended to May, the points that they gave us back into our account were Riviera points. And they said, yeah, of course you can use them on Riviera. That's fine. So we were like, yeah.
Cool.
We've tried to book Riviera about four times,
and we've still not managed to stay there yet. We stopped because it's like last time.
We've given up.
In November, we decided, okay, we'll just whatever was available. Because I think we booked Saratoga, and then we'd booked Boardwalk, and then we found out the borders were opening on 8th of November. So it's like, okay, we've got to move it again. And it's where we stayed in four hotels.
Yeah. Four hotels in 12 days.
Like, just so we can get there.
Just so we could get there.
I think we got lucky because it wasn't, the 7 month window hadn't opened.
Okay.
So, and they were able, we couldn't book it ourselves because our account's a resale account. So it doesn't even show us Riviera.
Oh, okay.
So actually has a call, and they booked it for us.
So basically what they've done, because they can't magic points out of anywhere, they have to take them from existing inventory. So because they haven't sold Riviera as of yet, they'd use that chunk of points to be able to give them back to the UK members.
There you go.
So
it was a massive loophole that we have took full advantage of.
I think we took advantage of that with the annual passes.
Making
sure we got them, and it was like got them at a good price before they put the new ones in, which now they're not doing anymore at the moment. They're all on pause, which is strange.
Interesting. But...
I've got a question for you. Your USP for your videos is this cinematic look. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
I don't think, have we ever made videos without that?
So, our YouTube channel started in December 19.
Yeah.
Because I have finally agreed to do it with Gaz. I never wanted to do like talking on camera or anything. But Gaz has made videos for years and years and years. And because I wasn't willing to talk, they've always been cinematic.
Yeah.
Of our trips.
Yeah. So the actual vlogging part has come later than the cinematic part.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because we go on these holidays and we do like the trailers that you see on our channel, we class them as trailers now, but that is what we've done for many, many, many years.
I'd say you've been in about 10 years.
Yeah.
The cinematic little
short
film.
Yeah. So like 2-3 minute long. That's what we do for a 2 week holiday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then we just picked up the whole idea of, oh, well, maybe we talk to people.
That intrigues me because I actually, I've got to say I made a note because I was looking through your YouTube channel, and having watched Ollie become a bigger and bigger star, and taking on a completely different role in your recent trips. The further back you go, there was one. It was like a Walt Disney World was a cinematic story. It's the most beautifully shot bit of film, and actually, it just as a standalone bit, if Disney were watching, it would be the most amazing sort of advertising reel.
Yeah,
you could push across to anyone, and it's all still there. And I'm more intrigued. I have said to people before, I went down the wrong route. I went down the writing route, and as a writer, you get involved in taking photographs. You don't sort of get involved in the video. You guys have actually, you've just grown and grown so amazingly. Just to watch what you produce and how you produce it, and some of the cinematic tricks that you have, but then the ability of Ange to actually keep herself and Ollie sort of center screen as you're possibly sort of leaning halfway out of a ride to get the shot, and you know. That takes an awful lot, and it takes an awful lot of planning. Yeah. And I really take my hat off to you. And it must be the most amazing thing to be able to do. And is it an amazing thing to do, or is it a pain in the backside? That's my biggest question of all. You know
what? I have fun doing it, and Ollie has fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while it's fun, we've said we're just going to keep going.
I think the interesting part that we do, and I suppose. It is the magic sauce, if you'd like, to the whole thing, is you have to make it that it doesn't impact the trip.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pre-planning that goes in nowadays.
From your side,
from me, before we go away, of like, I have ideas in my mind in terms of what I want to do. And because some of these shots, you could probably go and you could spend a long time and go, right, okay, we need to frame it up or whatever. I have an idea in my head before we go. What that's going to look like, because I don't want it to be 15-20 minutes of me trying to get shots. A lot of this stuff is literally was walking and I stop, get the shot, carry on walking. And the good thing is with Walt Disney World is you know, especially with the cinematics, that is a 3-minute video up to 5-minute video of a 2-week trip.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little minutes, little sections here and there that don't take that long, but luckily over a period of time they build up enough for me to then piece something together.
There is one scene that has taken a while to film.
Yeah.
Which was the Pandora AWAR seed.
Yeah, the AWAR seed. Yeah.
Okay. But he's wanted to do that since Pandora opened.
Yeah.
And he did. He wasn't like he didn't. You couldn't do it, could you? Like, no. You wouldn't have been able to do it.
No.
And you finally found like a way of the graphic doing it. To do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That took a long time, but again, like
that did take a little bit. That took about 10-15 minutes to get like the right lighting and.
Yeah. Hmm. But again, we're making it fun for Ollie at the same time, weren't we?
To make it so
it's not like, because you don't want to have it. At no point do we want a vlog to overtake the day. You want the day to dictate the vlog.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So he's trying to find that balance. Mm. And I think we do all right with that.
Yeah. Ollie takes the camera all the time now and starts like filming stuff. And
it's an Ollie cam.
We try and put the Ollie cam in as much as we can.
Yeah.
Mm. Got the most amazing clip of him and the battery died and it deleted.
Devastating.
He was like, where's the castle, guys?
Yeah.
And there's a pop coming past and he was like narrating it all it didn't say. We were so sad.
Oh.
It is a shame, but it's great to see that he's interested in it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, at the end of the day, if he ever said to us, I don't want to do this, then we won't do it. It's as simple as that. And
we went to Chester Zoo. Was that yesterday? Day before yesterday?
Yesterday.
And he was like, why are we not filming?
Good lads.
So all day he was like, selfie time.
Yeah, she's like, take
a picture of me.
Yeah.
So he does, he really loves it.
Yeah. He's probably so used to it as well by now that it's just second nature to him, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's lovely. Like you said, John, you're able to see him grow. We look back on certain things and, you know, and this is the beauty of the way in which we film, because like one day we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
And I want him to be able to look back. And the one big thing about these type of videos is I want to make sure that the emotion comes through, because like at one point in the future, I want him to be able to look back on them videos and that's I want them emotions to be able to come out in the videos for him to look back on. And that's the thing that I'm definitely most excited for is to leave something like that for him at some point.
It's nice to have so many people doing so many different types. Ben and Becca are quite traditional in their
thing. We're making up as we go along.
Yeah, we're making up as we go along.
We are very music led and edit heavy.
Yeah,
and you have your cinematic. You know, it's nice that there are so many different.
Yeah,
things for people to watch.
Yeah.
But I think that, and somebody who absorbs all of that, and I know I keep harking back, I've never had that sort of that creation of being a vlogger, and it's something I now aspire to, having watched you guys all sort of on your trips, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, I did it wrong way back when we started all of this. Keeping notes, writing it all down and putting photos in between trip reports. Actually, it had been a whole lot easier just filming and seeing what comes out the other end. Because actually, like you were saying, guys, for all we sort of have plans to be on this earth forevermore, it's the fact that in 10, 20, 30 years' time, you want your kids to have some form of memory of such a special time and that enjoyment and that whole sort of sense of magic that you guys get, irrespective of which park it is, even in the UK parks that you guys have done, that comes across. And for Ollie particularly, it's something that, he's only young at the minute, but he'll look back in years to come and he'll go, we did this, we did all of this, and it's, look at this, you know. And then he gets to 18, 19 and he turns around to you and says, why don't we do that anymore, Mum and Dad?
Earlier than that, he'll get to like 10-year-old and be like, I've had enough of this. Not with Mum and Dad anymore.
Oh, but having said that, I mean, I do trip reports, and there's nothing wrong with trip reports. Trip reports are great to look back on as well. But it's so good to have different kinds of ways to rekindle those memories, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we'll probably all agree that if we all had the chance, we'd probably start earlier than we have done.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Whether that's for filming or whether that's buying DVC.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's our only regret with DVC is that we didn't do it sooner.
Oh.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question. On your most recent trip, as we've been seeing the videos of, you used Genie Plus.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Controversial topic. Are you Genie Plus lovers, Genie Plus haters? So you found all the tips and tricks of how to use it?
We would like to try it again before we judge it. It had only just sort of rolled out.
Yeah.
And it was the first busy period.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work.
Yeah. Right. It was proven that the demand in the park was bigger than they expected. Hence the reason why, and they've done it again by they've taken the paid rides and moved them into Genie Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it worked great in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you pretty much choose something to go on there and then. Not Jungle Cruise or Jingle Cruise as it was for us.
Yeah.
And sort of Haunted Mansion, everything. The popular rides all slid to later in the day.
Mm.
But like there was enough rides to take up your time throughout the day. Although it did have us running from one side of the park to the other quite a lot. Mm. We did a lot more walking than we would normally do.
Yeah.
But like at Hollywood Studios, it was not good. We did 3 rides, and one of those was Rise, so we paid extra for that.
Right, okay. Yeah. For your non-e-ticket attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Because your e-ticket attractions, it just swallows them, absolutely swallows them. And my biggest criticism of Genie Plus compared to FastPass Plus isn't the fact that you've got to pay for it, because actually you take a look at the likes of Merlin, the likes of Universal, they all have some sort of paid FastPass.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that you are no longer in control of when that is.
Mm.
So, you are at the mercy of the time of Genie Plus. So you can't plan your day. You can try and cheat the system, but the majority of the time, the system wins. Because like with FastPass Plus, you could go, do you know what? I'm going to have a lazy morning. And then in the evening, I'm going to put my 3 fast passes. And I know that when I go to the park at 5 o'clock, I'm absolutely set for the day.
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas you got to log in at 7 o'clock in the morning for Genie Plus, and it's going to pick you a time. If you could choose that time, then it would make this whole system miles better.
Yeah.
But you're at the mercy of Genie Plus. So you might go, like there was one occasion where we tried to stack at the end of the day, but because you have that 2-hour gap, you've got to guess, and you're like, well, do I do this ride here that's starting to climb a bit faster, or do I wait and see if this one that's only at like 3 o'clock is going to start to go up a little bit faster?
Yeah,
and
you can
wait every 2 hours to see if that happens. So you're basically gambling every 2 hours to be able to get the right times.
You can overlap them, which is we quite liked that you could overlap the times.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it was just too busy and they weren't expecting it.
Mm.
And obviously they kept both individual lightning lanes while we were there. They were both paid.
Mm-hmm.
So Hollywood Studios, by lunchtime, there was nothing left. There was no more time to choose for the rest of the day. So I spent a lot of money. Like it was $47-ish for the 3 of us.
Yeah. Mm. £38 it came to when we did this.
Yes, yes.
That's what it was a day.
Yeah.
It's scary, isn't it?
You can park hop, which we did, because you need to get the most out of, you've done 2 rides plus an extra paid individual lightning lane, which we did Rise.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, we've paid like £37-38 for rides, and that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So then it made our days go longer.
Yeah.
So then we're all tired.
It's a holiday, doesn't it? Because like, especially with Hollywood Studios, because they're all A rides, like you get in quick, get a couple in the morning, but you know full well you're going to hop to another park to make the most out of Genie Plus, because all the rides have gone.
The only thing probably left is the Frozen sing-along.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you're like, right, well, that's not going to work. Let's move to another park.
Yeah.
And then we also got stung by Kilimanjaro Safaris. Well, let's do that for later on in the evening, completely forgetting that it doesn't do it after dusk. Yeah. So we're there waiting for it to go in the evening.
Yeah.
And then it's gone. And we're like, oh, my God, why is it gone? And it was like, well, after 4 o'clock. Because bearing in mind, it's an hour before it finishes. So it was like half 3 gone.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
we didn't have much luck with it, to be honest. We tried one day of it, and it just didn't go well.
I mean, we picked the wrong day, to be fair. We had a day where we had a lunch booked and a dessert party.
Yeah, okay.
We should have chosen a different
day. In the old days of FastPass, we would have been able to fit around that. But we, like you said about Genie Plus, it just doesn't work. Mm. And you can always tell when things just... I'd rather keep an eye on the wait times than I would paying for it and then just go, okay, well, that's got a half an hour queue, I'll wait for that. And by the time I've looked at my phone and wasted time going through it all day.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think this is what worries us is that we tend to be rope drop and then by mid-afternoon we want to go back and have a rest and, you know, and we don't want to be spending all day in the park. And, the idea of paying for something and then finding at sort of 2 minutes past seven that you can't get anything till 7 o'clock that night.
Yep.
No, does not appeal to me.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think there was the one day that we got two rides done out of it. Or did we manage to hop it? There's some days where you go, do you know what? We got the value out of that.
Yep.
And then there's other days where you go, we definitely did not get the value that we wanted.
I think it's better use of it in Epcot and Magic Kingdom than
So would it be better to go Disneyland Paris route and make you pay for each individually?
I don't see. We won't. It's weird because we won't pay for the Disneyland Paris ones.
No.
Agree. I think the difference is you don't need to unless you're going into a really, really busy time.
It's true. I don't think either of them are a good way. I think there needs to be a in between of FastPass Plus and Genie Plus. And I think if they can find a balance there, I think that's the sweet spot that they should get to.
They just need to let people pick the times that they want.
That's basically, showing 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock onwards.
Yeah.
Well, under the original paper system, you didn't pick your time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Peter. Isn't it strange how they can take a paper system, which had its faults, had its problems, which at Walt Disney World, they kind of eradicated that with the FastPass system where you book your time and stuff like that, and then they got rid of it.
Mm.
And now you get Genie Plus, and they've actually made it worse than it was when we had
I think also the Brits made the most of the FastPass Plus system. I appreciate that for locals and for people who were coming to the parks for the first time, didn't have a clue, turned up and was told, well, you should have booked 6 months ago, you can't get on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate, you know, that was a pain. But as Brits, we planned and we knew and we learned all the tricks and we made the most of it. And I think we're the ones now who kind of...
I think, that's the thing of planning so much in advance. It was just nice to know that, okay, on my two-week trip, I know I'm going to get Pandora or going to get Flight of Passage in once. Where on our last trip, it was like, okay, I don't care what happens, I'm paying for Rise of Resistance if that's my way for doing it.
We didn't have to, though.
We only did it once, but then the second time was...
Can I twist this round on our guests then as well? Because obviously your trip was in December.
Mm-hmm.
And having been previously, did you leave any of the rides out there? That you know when you're thinking, and you get back on the plane, you say, I really wish we'd had a chance to do such and such. But because it obviously being December, it's always busy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you have a feeling you came away having not done as much as you had previously?
Did more than we would normally do. We normally would take a break in an afternoon, maybe go back that evening or go to Disney Springs, where we stayed in the parks all day to make the most of it, because we were like, what if we don't get to come back on the next trip that we've got booked? We want to make sure that we do every single ride that we want to do and do our favorite multiple times.
Yes.
So we did I think if I could change the trip, I probably would try and do a little bit less and enjoy the actual parks a little bit more. Because we did just run from ride to ride to ride.
It's funny because it's a combination of Genie Plus and the pandemic which caused that. Because it kept us in. But like you say, John, if you want to go on the big rides, then you're paying for it. But at least that's an option. At least, like back in FastPass Plus, like you were all saying before, there's people who turn up to that park who haven't booked a dining, haven't booked FastPass, and their experience at FastPass Plus was terrible. And now they've got a bit of a better chance. They're getting a little bit more, but for us planets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of think
you're penalised, aren't you?
Yeah,
penalised for planning previously.
Yeah. I kind of think of it this way. I know that to get on the Wallace and Gromit ride in Blackpool Pleasure Beach, if you don't have a full price wristband, it's 10 quid a pop.
Yeah.
And it's $15 for a day of fast passes. So, that kind of puts it in perspective.
Oh, it's $15 for one ride on Rise the Resistance.
I'd do one ride on Rise the Resistance.
It might be worth it for Rise the Resistance. Wallace and Gromit is good, but maybe.
It's probably not worth a tenner.
You're right. I mean, even if you add another extra option, you know, and add it where you could pick the times, and they charge you £20 rather than £15 or dollars.
Don't
give
JPEG ideas.
I see value in that though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's like at least that way, like I'm still gonna have a more relaxing holiday.
Yeah.
For that extra amount of money, because I'm not constantly on my phone all the time. Like, I'll set an alarm, and in 2 hours' time, I'll then pick a new time. That's not a problem. But I'm not like, oh no, what time is it? When's that going to be? What about in 2 hours' time? When's that going to be? You know, like, I'm not. It gives a bit more anxiety with the way the system is right now, because you're trying to beat the system.
And
it's just a new system that you don't know what it's going to work like.
Yeah. But I can imagine on a quiet day, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
What's one of those?
Well, not anymore. A couple of years.
It would be nice if instead of just being able to pick one ride at 7 a.m., you could pick your first three.
Yeah.
And your first three times. And then once you're on that last one, like you could with Fast Pass, you book your next one.
Yeah. But even 7 a.m., though, what a joke that is.
Or 7 a.m. the day before.
It's fine.
Not only that, like if you have, like in the UK, you can purchase it all up front. But with us being annual pass holders, we couldn't. So you had to purchase it before it started.
Day by day.
Mm. And like amateurs book it at 7 because you're losing your time. You need to book that before. You need to have that fast pass ready to go. I mean, well, the Genie Plus ready to go.
Mm.
So, like you're doing it at like
quarter. You're staying up till midnight. Yeah. To be able to book it. Like,
or your quarter to. Setting up the gym, but then at 7 be able to go.
Yeah.
So it's like the amount of times that we just was like,
yeah,
you know, like we're back asleep again.
Yeah.
And then we'll
no, I know that feeling. Yeah. I think it wasn't for Genie Plus, but it was for the virtual queue for Ratatouille.
Yeah.
It was like, I woke up, it was like, I don't know what time it is. It's like, okay, I'll set this up. It's like, oh, you've got to come back in an hour to 7 o'clock. Yeah. It's like, okay. It's like, there was me holding my phone an hour later. Oh, wake up. It's like, okay, what am I doing?
Yep.
Luckily, we got it.
We did.
But it was the same thing. I remember during sort of 2020, and we were thinking of like, okay, our next trip, but it was all of the hassle of the boarding passes and the boarding groups.
Mm.
Luckily, we never had to sort of deal with that. But it's
just
your trips dependent on just the app working.
Mm.
Yeah.
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 So can we take it away from Genie Plus and all that malarkey and all that? Go on, tell us what your highlights of the trip were. Come on, we're big on positivity on the Great British Mickey Waffle. Yeah. And actually, I want all of our listeners to actually, if you've not been like me, not got a trip planned, I need to just feed off other people's trips and other people's excitement of what they are. What were your highlights? Come on.
So there's many.
Many.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is going back to Magic Kingdom for the first time. That's amazing. Mm. And the great thing is with the way Magic Kingdom is, the build-up is quite, you know, it's quite substantial. So it isn't just a case of, hey, I'm at the park, way. Like it potentially can be at Disneyland Paris, even though you have like the walkway into it. Like you still got to get the boat, you've got to get the monorail. It's quite grand.
Yeah.
That was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think the moment we told Ollie at home as well.
Yeah.
And he just went, oh.
Just knowing that. Yeah. Just knowing that.
Yeah. Just the excitement on him and being able to go on a plane for the first time in years.
And another thing which is very new to us, so we have never really been to Walt Disney World whilst being in this community.
Right, okay.
And actually being there and seeing people who we've built relationships with over the past 2 years has been fantastic. So like we got to meet Barry and Maxine. So yes. Pat Mazza,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They were there. We met Chris Lost in Florida. So like there's loads of people that we kind of saw. Dean. Yeah, Katie and Dean, the Wild Adventures. So we saw these people.
And Disney Twins.
See what I mean? Like this is like, so brilliant. Many people that you like, you just literally just bump into, and it's like, oh my god, yeah. We and it feels like you feel like you know them because you spent so much time online. Yeah. So that was really cool. Just kind of see people and kind of communicate with people that you haven't really seen before. Harmonious.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Harmonious.
That was cool.
A full parade. Yeah. It was the first full parade that had come back to any Disney park, wasn't it? With the after hours event.
Spaceship Earth.
Oh, the glow up was insane.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing, no vlog you watch online.
No. That was the best 50th thing.
Yeah.
The beacon. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So good.
I cried at that one. I didn't cry at Enchantment, but I cried at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the little things that you forget. So it's the things that you don't even really realize it, but you'll just be somewhere and it doesn't have to be a specific place and all of a sudden it just hits you that you're back.
I think for me it was the welcome home when you tap your magic band walking into the park and just having a little speaker just say that.
It's a little noises, isn't it? It's you getting on the monorail.
Well, it turning and purple for the first time, like you've never seen it before.
And... it's all the little things. Tapping your magic band to be able to get into your room, you know, like just the transportation that you've got there. It's them little things that you just, you know, they're there and you forget about, and all of a sudden it just hits you and you just go, now I remember why this place is special.
It's the voice on the bus saying you're heading to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
And everybody's got the same ones. That's the bit, you know, and that to me is that's such a nice thing. But what you said, Gaz, about people within the Disney community and what was created out of a period of sort of quite a traumatic time for everybody. And I know you guys were involved with Saturday Night Discussions.
Yeah.
You were involved. Yeah. But what's happened with everything is everybody's kind of had time to watch other people's vlogs.
Yeah.
And actually absorb what other people are all about, and that's been a nice bit. And like you say, I think for everybody, I know Ben and Becca on your last trip, again, you had the chance of going and meeting people. I don't think any of us that are involved in producing this content, I don't think any of us will have trips that are going to be the same ever again.
No,
because there are people who want to just sort of just say hello.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it is such a lovely thing. And I know you guys invested an awful lot of time. You invested, it was one of those highlights that when you look back at that lockdown period, you know, what was happening was quite surreal from a group of vloggers that actually just come and chatted on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, but I know Ben and Becca got involved quite early on, and then somebody said, you need to watch this. And then I got absorbed into it and stuff. And it was just, you know, in a time where we all needed something different and something that was completely, like I say, quite surreal.
Mm.
Because it's the reason why we're doing this.
Mm.
It's the fact that, you know, we might not meet each other, but we've all got a shared passion and a shared love for Disney and certainly for Walt Disney World. And to be able to chat to people from throughout the whole world now, it's just, it is bizarre. And it's such a lovely thing. And I think you guys actually, it was again, that was something that promoted, without knowing it, I think pushed people towards your channel. And I think that's where you get that uplift and you probably got that, maybe that inspiration of things that you wanted to go on and do again, perhaps.
Yeah. That show was fantastic for us. I mean, like, we just literally pestered to begin with. We just exactly the same as you guys when you're watching it. We're like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people, we're not crazy people because people can talk like
people actually talk. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's amazing. You have a conversation with your normal friends and family about Disney and they think you're nuts.
Yeah.
Like, someone else brings up Disney in conversation, you're like, yeah, I know a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I want to act a little bit cool. I don't want to go too crazy. Whereas with like this, we can just go crazy. We can talk about anything.
Yeah.
And everyone knows. Yeah, you're right. You know what I mean? So, like, it is brilliant. And going back to what you said, like, we had a really, our friends and family were very close. We're very local. Like, we didn't have many friends outside of, let's say, like a 20-mile radius. And now we have people in Australia. People in America. I mean, you guys are all over the country as well.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It really is.
It's brilliant. It really is.
Yeah.
And so when we all get back to, you know, all get back to the office, that we've all been locked out of the offices and all that for all this time, and that person at the photocopier turns around to someone and says, "You going to Disney again?" And you turn around, "Yeah, because I've got all these people that I've met online, on Zoom, and on Restream, that, and the other. I've got to go meet all of them."
Yeah.
Have you missed that? They probably missed completely the whole point of what's going on. And again, going back to the positivity side, it's how everybody supported each other through such a trying time. And that's shone through. And I think that's something that I think, you know, I take my hat off to an awful lot of people, from the Follow Friday on Twitter, from everything. You know, it's hard work. I know it is. And I know, Ben, you do a sterling job for us. You know, it is something where you know that when people have been needy, and I know there's other people out there that have had their moments, either through health or through mental health, and it has been a community where it has come together and actually supported each other. And that's really taken me by surprise watching it from somebody who, I was late to Disney. I just see this as coming out having a chat to people. I don't see it in the bigger picture, but I can see how this impacts upon your next visits. And, you know, I really do. I do also feel as the fact that, you know, I need a gimbal. I need some
just take your phone.
Just an iPhone and take your phone.
Camera, definitely something posh.
I've spent way too much money on gear to know they don't need anywhere near as much gear. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about being able to tell the story and just taking people with you.
Do you know something? That's a lovely way of looking at it. I actually remember this. I think there's one of your vlogs, and I think Theme Park Baz is in it, or it might even be one of his, and he actually takes the rucksack off you, and you unzip the rucksack, and you just look at the amount of stuff that you've got in that bag, and you're just thinking, oh, my word. How did they let you through security? That was my first thing as well.
They check every single time.
I know, it took you hours. Yeah.
We had that. We had that on this trip.
You get scared of it now, and I know. Yeah. So, like, I'll get in and I'll zip it, and they'll open it up, and they'll just go, "Yep, okay," and I'll just close it.
I have a DJ Pocket.
Yeah,
one of those, which I find is really useful because you can just take it out, get what you want, and maybe you don't have to have all this. And it always gets strange looks from people because they're thinking, is it some kind of weapon?
Last time Disneyland Paris, every time we went through the little security tent, they're all like, what is this? It's a camera. It's okay.
Do you know, it wasn't the camera or the phone or anything. It was this battery pack.
Okay,
That would always trigger it. So I've learned.
To be fair, it's probably the fact that we probably had about 3 or 4 of them in the bag.
Yeah.
Hard sunglasses cases.
Yes.
They set them off all the time.
Off as well.
Yeah.
But I like the new security, the way they do it. Yeah, it makes better. so much
easier.
Yeah.
Cool.
So my question is, what's next for you guys?
Oh well, there's a lot. So we are going back to Walt Disney World at the end of this month.
Yay!
So we're excited for that, aren't we?
So not ready. Not ready for this trip.
No. And from a UK point of view, we're going to continue to work with Merlin for 2022. So there's plenty of stuff coming from the UK side as well, we're trying to find a good balance for that because like beforehand, it was very much all UK stuff. With Walt Disney World, the weekly videos, aren't they? So we're trying to find a balance for that, really.
We have to go to the 30th. Yep. Disneyland Paris, like, I don't care when we go, we are going this year.
We will be around.
We will be there.
So
You're kind of sorted on that. That leads me seamlessly into that affiliation with Merlin. Actually, came at an amazing time because actually we were still unable to travel. To actually, you know, was it? Did they come knocking on your door, or did you just bombard them with?
No. So we got in touch with us.
We can video and we can sell your product.
So what happened was it was back in September 2020. So it was the point of the first lockdown had just finished, and we were looking to go. We was like, right, we can go on holiday for a little bit here. We need to try and get out, do something. We can't leave the country because we weren't allowed. So we were looking at things to do. So we decided to purchase annual passes for the Merlin because we're like, we're just going to go for this 2 weeks, but we're going to do a road trip. So we picked the road trip and we went to all these different theme parks. And that happened in September, didn't it?
Yeah, and I'd been posting a lot of pictures and stuff on our Instagram.
Yeah.
And Merlin had messaged saying, could they use one of the pictures on their social media? That was the initial contact with them.
Yeah. Yep.
And then a few weeks later, we just got an email from them asking, would we like to work with them?
Yep.
So we were like, yes. Yes, so we would love that. This was
the first time that Merlin had done something like this. So they wanted to set up a collaborator program for 2021. And was like, well, we've seen all your stuff online. We're looking for people that that are family orientated to do this. And bear in mind, I don't think, if I'm honest with you, there's many people that do this because they're not as nuts as we are with a small child.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the reason why, because we were like 400 subscribers at the time, so we weren't a big channel.
Yeah.
But I just think because we have Ollie. And we were going to these theme parks and they wanted people to be able to give a perspective from a family point of view rather than a lot of people, they're either couples or they're individuals going to the theme parks. It wasn't really a lot of family stuff. So we did that and they offered us to go to a few places in 2021 and we got some really fantastic experiences.
Yeah.
And clearly they like what we did because they've asked us again for this year.
That's so nice. And actually, if people haven't checked that out, because on your channel, you did go to some quite amazing British theme parks that maybe a lot of people possibly wasn't on the radar. Mm. And I think I'll give Merlin the due. They were probably quite clever in actually doing that because whilst people had to go on holiday last summer, they're suddenly, you know, if you're not going to Walt Disney World or you're not going to Disneyland Paris, you still have that need to go and explore. And I think that was such a nice thing for you guys to actually put on your channel. And it was just it's that air of normality returning to family life, isn't it? And I take my hat off to Ollie. I'm a big Ollie fan, guys. I know. Yeah. When you wake him up tomorrow, just say, yeah. This old bloke, really.
I've been there
with my kids, and it's that whole thing. I understand how a child actually becomes the narrative for how you actually put a video together. And I, again, harking back, you know, it really does remind me of the days I spent when my kids were much younger. And again, looking at you guys, it is such an exciting part of your life.
Yeah.
And it's recorded forever. You know, you're not going to find yourself old and grey and in that chair like I am and go, oh, remember when? You've got it. You've actually got it on. You've got it on video. You've got it there. And you can say, we did this. And you can be so proud as parents.
Yeah,
that you afforded Ollie the chance of having that start in life of actually watching him grow year on year.
Yeah.
He's all that it's there, and he's suddenly now becoming of an age where he's taking more and more control of you guys. Just beware, my oldest is now 18, and you suddenly understand that, you know, there comes a day where you don't have to carry the backpack anymore. It's like you've got someone. They get to an age, and the shoulders are broad enough. You carry the bag, son. There you go. Right.
I don't know. It'd be a long time for him to carry my backpack. Or
will it be the day that when they pay for themselves?
Our channel. So we are monetized now. Yeah. Now we're over 1,000 subscribers, but we don't take that revenue. So we that is purely going to Ollie when he's older,
right? Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So so that's something that we decided to do. We don't want this channel isn't about making money for us. It's about enjoying it as a family. So we decided very early on, well, even before we got monetized, that, that every single bit of revenue that comes from the AdSense is going to go into a bank account. And then fingers crossed, when he's a little bit older, it'll go towards like a payment for a deposit on a house or something like that.
Yeah. Nice.
Or £10.50.
Terrific.
Yeah. But that's lovely. I think that is the most wonderful. Do you know, that really sums it up. To me, it just sums up what you guys are as a family. It sums up that whole togetherness that you all have when you're watching all the stuff on your channel. And I think that, you know, for anyone who's listened to the show from the beginning to end, you just, if there's nothing else you take from this whole show from the Great British Mickey Waffle, it's that whole thing about being a family and actually just understanding that, nothing else matters. Mm. You know, it really doesn't. And yeah, I'll take my hat off to you guys because that's such a lovely thing to. Yeah, I'm going to turn around my kids and say we're going to do a reverse trip. You're going to video me being a grumpy kid.
Well, at least we know that when we're older and he's shipping us off, that the payment for where we're going to go, we're going to
be
on the channel.
So we're all right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh,
what
a lovely thought!
That's brilliant. So, Gaz and Ange, and where can our listeners and watchers find you?
So mainly YouTube. So you can find us. This feels very bizarre. It feels like we're at the end of one of our shows that we did ages ago. We used to have to do this. This is bizarre. So yeah, YouTube, The Kershaw's Adventures. Instagram
is The Kershaw's Adventures.
You want to find us on Twitter, it's @_Kershaw's.
Oh, brilliant. It's one of those things when someone asks you, your mind goes blank. It's like, okay, what do we do again?
Yeah. You're the only one that can ever remember it.
You say that. I don't know. It helps that I've got it written down here now.
Yeah.
Hey, memory's kicked in.
It's even harder when you've got to remember two.
So, thank you to everyone for listening and watching. If you'd like to find out where you can find more of the Great British Mickey Waffle, head to any of our socials, so Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're @GBMickeyWaffle. If, like us, you are planning a future trip to Disneyland Paris, Walt Disney World, or anywhere else, speak to Karen and Neil over at Portwood Travel. You can find all the links on our show notes and on our website. And don't forget to tell them that we sent you. So if you're listening to the podcast, we'd love it if you'd leave us a rating and review. If you are watching on YouTube, we'd love and to see our lovely faces. We'd appreciate a like and a comment. And don't forget to subscribe for more future waffle. So there's just one thing left to say.
As waffle on! Waffle on!